Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I'm certainly excited to be here on Let's Imagine Sunday. And it was great seeing my mom and dad in a video. And my brother up here doing service lead. He did a great job. And it's exciting when you're a part of a family that works together for the kingdom of God and ministry. And that was not always the case, as you found out in that video behind me. In fact, I was the 11 and a half year old boy that my mom was talking about when we first came here. I was in Sunday school, and I met a girl in Sunday school that stole my heart. And she's right here. Isn't the Lord faithful and fantastic? And that precious elder on the front row over there, Esther Hoffman, was teaching that Sunday school. And so we thank you for that pouring into us as children. Don't ever underestimate the value of a teacher. And that's what we're doing. As you can see, this looks a little bit different today. Talisha and I spoke in January about fasting. And I learned very quickly how much I enjoyed having some company up here. And so we had this, actually somebody presented this idea to us recently, and it stuck in our spirits. And usually when that happens, it's the Lord, leading you into something. And then last Sunday, Pastor Draylen confirmed what we were feeling with some of the instructions that he was giving us. So today we wanted to talk to you all about the title of our sermon is Bride and Groom. Bride and groom. Now, full disclosure, we understand everybody in this room is not married, right? Not yet. Because, contrary to what society is saying, every person in this room is either a male or a female. And if you're not married yet, I hope that one day you aspire to be married. Because it's a wonderful thing to go through life with a partner through that life. And if you are an elder and your spouse or your partner has gone on to be with the Lord, then you will know that a lot of what we are saying here today as teaching and instruction is true. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to go a little bit into detail about the roles, responsibilities, things that are on the man or the husband, the father of the home, and things that are with the wife or the bride, the mother of the home, and try to identify. I just want to know what the Bible has to say about it. And if it's important enough for God to put something into His Word that He has given to humanity, then I think it's important enough for us to study and to learn what that Word has to say, because God's way is always the right way. Always. Okay, is that okay? All right. So in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, this is what it says. For the husband is the head to the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. It's very clear that the word of God is teaching God's order, that the husband is the head to the wife, and Christ is the head to the body. So let this, I want to make the bridge. I want to make the connection, okay? The husband is representing of Christ. And the wife is representing of the bride. That's the church, okay? Does everybody follow? That's why the Bible begins this with the story of a husband and a wife and a marriage, Adam and Eve in the garden. It ends with the story in Revelation 19. This is what it says. 19 verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. We know the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. We're talking about Jesus right now. The marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. The groom is coming back for his bride. There is a marriage here that God wants us to remember and to live our lives according, that would mirror his relationship to his church. Does everybody follow? In fact, in Mark chapter 2, 19, this is the story of the disciples asking Jesus why the Pharisees are asking Jesus about the disciples and why they don't fast. And this is where Jesus refers to himself as the bridegroom. He identifies himself, I'm the bridegroom. They're not going to fast as long as the bridegroom's with them. Okay? So we know that Jesus Christ is the groom, the husband, the church is the bride, the wife. And so there's a lot that we can gain or glean from that relationship that he has with his church. Okay? So now I want to dive in. You know, we're going to start with the men. This is where all you men get a little bit uncomfortable. Okay? We're going to talk at you. All right? Is that fair?
Yes, sir.
Do you want to know what the Bible has to say about how you should be living your life as a man of God? Right? Let's figure that out. Ephesians 5:25. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." God again is relating husbands to himself. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And then he goes on to say he loved the church so much, he was willing to give everything for it. And so if I'm supposed to be like him in how I treat my wife the way he treats his wife, there's nothing that I shouldn't be willing to give for you. Think about the love of God. The love that God has for you, the bride of Christ, it's what he saw when he was on the cross. It says, for the joy that was set before him. You don't have joy when your hands have nails through them. He saw you being filled with the Holy Ghost. He saw you being buried in his name and your sins being washed away. He saw the bride. And because he saw the bride and through that lens of love that he has for you, there's nothing he wasn't willing to do. And so as men, we've got to try to grasp that. Now, we can't fully grasp the love that God has for us. It's immeasurable. You can't quantify it. Try wrapping your head around the love that God has for you. I can't. But I know that that's how I'm supposed to do my best to love her. And I'm willing to do anything that you need for me to do. I'm willing to give everything for you. Think about that. Somebody breaks into your home in the middle of the night. Hey, babe, you want to go check that out for me, please? That ain't what's going to happen. I promise you that. Why? I'm willing to give everything for her and for my family. Just like Christ gave everything for you. Does that make sense? Okay. Men are supposed to be leaders. We're supposed to be the leaders of our marriages. We're supposed to be the leaders of our homes. It starts with us. In fact, when you study leadership, we've done some John Maxwell books around here, and he says that everything rises and falls on leadership. If the men are the leaders, and everything rises and falls on leadership, then your marriage will rise and fall based upon what you do or what you don't do. Our marriages are upon us as men to be the leaders, okay? In Genesis chapter 3, verse 9, this is where we find out about the fall of man, Adam and Eve in the garden, okay? Eve had the fruit. She ate it. And then it says that she gave it to Adam, who was standing right along next side of her. And he took the fruit and he did eat. Adam was the one that was commanded to not eat of the fruit. Okay? It was his job to make sure that he was governing this marriage the right way. Because he's the leader. And when this happened, this is what the Bible says. For one man, sin entered the world. It says that Eve was deceived. He wasn't deceived. He was supposed to be the leader in that moment. And he didn't lead. We don't need passive, quiet men. We need men who are willing to lead and to do what's right, even in the face of adversity. We have to have strong men. And this is what God says in this verse. It says, "The Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou?" Why didn't God say, "Adam and Eve, where are you?" God wanted to talk to the leader. Because it rises and falls on leadership. The fall that happened in the garden was not Eve's fault. It was Adam's fault, right? God always wants to address the leader. Now, we're talking about leadership. This is where we got to be very careful in the culture, the climate that we live in. Satan always wants to distort God's word. He always wants to twist it or put a little bit of doubt on that. And so it's important for us as men to realize that we are leaders. We are not lords. We are builders. We're not bullies. It's not my job to be Lord over your life. That's His job. It's my job to lead you, to instruct, encourage, support, be in the saddle with you. And we've got to make that distinction. It's my privilege and honor as the man to make sure that I'm the priest of my home.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
This is something that we are malnourished in Christianity, in apostolic Pentecostal Christianity. We are malnourished with men who are spiritually strong and the priests of our home. I told you it might get a little uncomfortable, but this is the word of God. We have to be the ones in our homes that our children are hearing pray. I think the wives and the mothers, I think they're praying in the homes. I think that's pretty common. Men, your wife needs to hear you pray. This isn't something that is beneficial. This isn't something that, man, it's good to hear every once in a while. This is necessity. This is the foundation for your marriage, for your family. And if you're not married yet, listen, if you're a young man in this place, I'm talking to you. If you're not married, guess what? Develop the habit of prayer now. Develop that confidence in prayer. And how do you get better at something? You practice it. You're in the, let's practice. Why? Because your future spouse is going to need you having a relationship and a prayer life. Because you're going to be, whether you're ready or not. When we got married, I was not ready to be the priest of my home. Neither one of us were living right. But God thankfully was merciful and helped us to grow into that. And so right now, if you're not married yet, develop this, build this, get these things that we're talking about. It's not just for married people, it's for unmarried people. Develop these habits right now into your home, because when we provide a place in the home for prayer, for security, for protection, leadership and guidance, now guess what? We've allowed our spouses to have a place where they can thrive in what God has called them to do. This is what it says. This is what it says in 1 Timothy 2, chapter 8, or chapter 2, verse 8. I would that men would pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Now, I'm all for, just because I'm talking to the men right now, I'm all for women praying everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I love that. But not at the cost of the men. Because the Bible doesn't say I would that women would pray everywhere. It says men would pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubt. I think there's something to be said about a man who's so confident in his walk with God that he's willing to lift up his hands in a grocery store and have a time of prayer. We need to develop the strength, the spiritual maturity as men of First Church. And that's who I'm talking to today. The men of First Church. Let's grow in our walks with God. Let's grow in our spirituality. Let's discover the power of worship. When we gather together here on a Sunday, I'll just full confession. I've made it up in my mind. I'm not going to let her out-worship me. I'm not going to do it. Because I'm the one who's supposed to be leading her. Leading her in worship, leading her in prayer, leading her in study, leading her in consecration, in fasting. That's on me. And it's a privilege. Why? Because I get to love her the way that Christ loves the church. And if that's the lens I'm doing things through, it's not hard to pray. It's not hard to make sure I'm living right and guarding my eyes, guarding my heart, protecting the sanctity of this union and the covenant that she and I have entered into before God Himself. Why? Because I love her. Okay? Men are to be workers. We're to be providers. We're to be laborers, right? We go back to that story in the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve and the fall in the garden. Adam's curse was to work the ground. It wasn't going to be easy for him anymore. He had to labor among the ground and to grow food. That's what he was working the ground for. Why? So he went to work every day under the sweat of his brow because he had to provide food for his family. That was established all the way back in the beginning. Men are to be providers, to provide care for the household. This is a verse that I found. It was a shocking verse. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. It says, "But if any provide for not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he's denied the faith and is worse than an infidel," or translation is unbeliever. The Bible is telling me if I don't provide for my family, for my wife, whoever is in my household, if I'm not providing, now I know we think of financially, right? If I'm not providing a place of safety, of spiritual safety, I'm worse than an unbeliever and I've denied the faith. If I don't provide a place of safety and comfort for her, I've denied the faith. I'm worse than an unbeliever. This is a sobering, sobering verse. But listen, God saw fit to put it into his word. And so let's learn it. Let's live it. Let's establish this into our home because we are to be workers. Now, we live in that culture today. I'll be full transparent with you. I don't understand some of the people that we have in society today that they don't want to get up and go do something. They don't want to go to work. They want them checks from the government to be rolling in every month and where they don't have to go to work. Listen, that's not biblical. You're supposed to get up and go to work, be active, working towards a goal. And when you are, guess what? Now you're focused. You're not so easily distracted. It's harder for Satan to swoop in and get you off track. Why? Because I'm busy and I'm focused and I'm driven. I'm working. We're in Let's Imagine. Let's stay focused. Let's stay driven. Let's keep that in the forefront of our mind. And when you do that and you're busy and you're focused, you're not so easily beset. Does that make sense? All right. Men are to be learners. In fact, there was a cool thing I saw preparing for this. It was a first grader, and they said, how would you improve a marriage? And he said, always tell your wife that she's pretty, even if she looks like a dump truck. And so I think about this. As men, we're supposed to be learners. In fact, if you asked any woman in this place, just by a show of hands, a top five quality or characteristic in, let's ask the young people who aren't married yet. Let's ask young ladies. Top five. Is honesty and trustworthiness one of the top five? Does everybody? We agree on that? Okay, so as men, we're supposed to be learners. And there are times in a relationship, men, where your wife or your girlfriend, the person you're dating, is going to want some honesty from you. And we need to make sure that we're being honest. However, there are trick situations that can mess you up. If she is asking you, does this outfit make me look fat? She is not wanting honesty. She wants affirmation, right? So we have to, and you've never looked fat, and never. So we've got to learn. We've got to learn, okay? We've got to learn our wives. It's crazy when you think about 100 years ago. Men from 100 years ago, they would go to work, they would come home, they would have a meal with the family. And then where did they spend their time? They would go to a study. Homes back then had studies. Men, we're supposed to study. We're supposed to learn things. And that's something that we need to develop a discipline. We're too busy in America being entertained. Can I just call? We're too busy with our phones. We're too busy with YouTube and the internet and TikTok and videos. We want to be entertained. We need to be studiers. In fact, the Bible says study to show yourself approved of God. It doesn't say study the word to show yourself approved of God. It says study to show thyself approved. It's a big deal. It's this verse in 1 Peter here. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 7 says, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, there's a lot to unpack here, and I'm going to do my best to unpack it. But I've read this verse before, but I've never seen it. You know, you can read something and never see it. I saw this verse and I was like, my God, have mercy. It says, your husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. He's talking about dwelling with your spouse, dwelling with your wife according to knowledge. What's that mean? I need to learn her. What's knowledge? It's what you've learned. It's my job as a husband to make sure I know what you like, what you don't like, what you don't want me doing, what you need from me as your husband, and be willing. Remember, we're providers. There's nothing that you're going to tell me you need that I'm not going to do my very best to provide for you. Why? I need to learn you. That's my privilege. Hasn't God learned you? Hasn't he learned you're fearfully and wonderfully made? He knows the plans that he has for you, plans of good, not of you. He's learned your personality. He's learned how you think and what's going to work with you, what's not going to work with you. As the bride of Christ, shouldn't I learn my bride the same way? We have to learn our wives. Then it says giving honor to the wife. This is such a great, great thing. But when you study this and you go into depth into this word honor, it's a different word than honoring your father and mother. Same word in English, different in the Bible when you study the background of that word. This literally translates to being willing to pay the price for. So as her husband, there's nothing I shouldn't be willing to pay the price for. I'm willing to take your place in a time of trouble. That's why I go downstairs and make sure the robber's not going to harm my family. Why? I'll pay the price. Whatever you need, I'm willing to pay it. Whatever the cost. Why? He paid everything for you. And I'm supposed to treat you the way he treats his bride, as a man, as the priest of my home. We have to, as men, keep that in our lens, in our forefront. As the weaker vessel. I'm not going to dance around this. This is the word of God. This is an amazing verse, an amazing part of this verse, as the weaker vessel. Notice I didn't say as the weak vessel. Bible says weaker. You try to tell her she's weak. Good luck. And I thank God that she's not weak. I thank God that she's strong and powerful in the Holy Ghost. So when we read this in English, there's a lot that's lost here. And it's like, oh, the men are weak, the men are strong, women are weak. That's not what the Bible is saying. This word weaker, when you break it down, notice it says the weaker vessel. What it's comparing it to is being more fragile, like fine china. That's why it says vessel. What's a vessel? Something, a container. It's the weaker vessel. It doesn't mean weak. It means different and more fragile. So remember, I'm supposed to learn her. And when I learn her, I learn how not to harm her. Because she's fragile. She's not going to be able to take the hits that, as a man, I'm designed to take the hits. Right? I got to protect and be aware of that being fragile. Then it says, as being heirs together of the grace of life. This verse is saying, if I learn my wife and I honor her by being willing to pay the price for her, because she's more fragile, if I do that, then we're going to be heirs together of the grace of life. If I don't do these things, we're not going to be heirs together, and we won't have access to the grace of life. Men, we have a great responsibility that is on us to cherish our wives, to do everything that we can for them. And then it says that your prayers would not be hindered. Now, when I think of the word hindered, I think of, man, it's going to have a harder time getting there. It may be slowed down a little bit. There may be some obstacles that my prayers have to get around. It's going to be hindered, but it'll get there. That's not the word. It's hindered in English. In the Greek language, this is what it translates to be cut off. In fact, the example they use in the Greek is to take a branch that's connected to the tree and to cut it off, to prune it. It's removed. Church, I don't want my prayers being cut off. I want my prayers, like the Bible says, that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's what I'm after. But if I'm not guarding my marriage the way the Bible says to make sure that I'm guarding it, my prayers are cut off and we're no longer joint heirs to the grace of life. This is a big deal that we get this right in our marriages and our relationships. And it's a big deal for people who aren't married yet that you establish these things right now so that when you do make that covenant before God, you're prepared and you're ready for God to put His blessing and His favor upon that union and upon your home. You want that. You want that. And so I thought it would be fitting right now to have Talisha speak about What does that mean to you as a wife? Because I'm not a wife, right? So I don't know what it is like being married to a godly husband, but you do. So speak from that perspective of what that provides for you.
It's everything, because it's the Word of God. And when things operate the way that God intended them to, it's perfect. And it's amazing, but I know that you and I, it's what Pastor has taught us over the years, 4 years, is that, you know, when you have a man that is willing to sacrificially love his wife, then you will automatically have a wife that submits to that man of God. But we are, you know, just full disclosure, we're not professionals by any means, but, you know, and we're going to be celebrating, 19 years in July.
Praise the Lord.
So we're still learning and everything, but it's the word.
She put up with me for 19 years, y'all. That's a miracle. But we are, it's like the practice of medicine. I learned as much, hopefully, as you're learning now. I learned as much this past week. Yeah. And I was convicted to do better.
But with that said, there's been something that we established in our marriage on day one, was that we were going to live our lives in our marriage with three values. And those are to serve the Lord together, to grow old together, and to go to heaven together. And so that has been woven throughout our marriage throughout the years. And
funny thing is, it was a few weeks ago. It just, you ever have something just hit you? That's what happened to me a few weeks ago. It's just like, I got a daughter getting ready to go off to college. I've got more gray hairs than brown hairs now. I've got my glasses here. So thankfully, I can make these letters bigger on my notes. And it just hit me. I said, babe, we're doing it. And she looked at me like I was crazy. She said, what are you talking about? What are we doing? I said, we're growing old together. I said, God's answered our prayers, that it's actually happening. So I was just, thank God for that.
Yeah, amen. So just a couple of things for as far as the role of the wife goes. One of the things that I wanted to bring up is that a wife is a partner who rules over creation. Now notice, I didn't say a partner to rule over her husband and not a partner to be ruled by her husband. But, you know, as he mentioned before, culture will try to, you know, blur these lines a little bit. And so it's important to understand what the Word of God says. And in Genesis 1:27-28, it reads that, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And so, okay, let's focus on that have dominion part. This is not God's word saying have dominion over each other. This is saying have dominion alongside of each other over God's creation. And then another scripture that's powerful there in Genesis is 2:22. It says, "Then the rib which the Lord had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man." Now, look at the intentionality of where God decided to take something from Adam in order to create Eve. He didn't take it from near his head to be over him. He didn't take it from anywhere near his feet to be below him or a doormat by any means. He took it from his side, from under his arm for protection, and near his heart to be loved. So much intentionality there. So number two is a helper to her husband. This is an important one. This is not a diminishing role by any means. This is a very serious role. Wives, you don't want to, you know, disregard yourself as just a helper. And husbands, I want to encourage you to allow that space for your husband or for your wife to be that helper, because that is how she is designed. Right. But this can backfire sometimes. Funny story. We were in the need, we had a need for a printer, and I thought that I would be a helper. I'm going to meet the need. I'm going to help meet the need for a printer. So we didn't know anything about printers back then, and we still don't. So we went to the store, I think maybe Office Max or something like that, and we go inside, and, you know, I don't think you had any intentions on asking for help,
no,
right?
No, I'm not going to ask for that help.
No, so I found the nearest sales guy, and he's like, "Can I help you?" And I said, "Yes, you know, we're looking for a printer." And he just, I mean, off the cuff, no questions. He was like, "Oh, well, I recommend a foreign one." And I was like, I just kind of looked at him like, wow, that's just so bold, like a foreign one. Okay, and I said, "Well, wouldn't we want to buy American?" And he looked at me like I was just from Mars, and he said, "A foreign one, a copy scan, whatever." And I look over at my husband, and he's just shaking his head.
Like, that's why you don't ask for help right there.
I don't know what I was thinking, but, you know, my intentions were pure. I can just say that, right? Yes, it can backfire sometimes, but... here in Genesis 2:18, it says, "And the Lord God said, 'It's not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him.'" And it just literally translates to, it's so simple, to help meet the need. Yeah. But the cool thing here is that in Hebrew, you know, pastors always taught us, when you're diving into the word, you know, study it in Hebrew and Greek and really dive into that translation. And I thought it was so cool here. That the Hebrew word for helpmeet is ezer. And yes, I studied how to pronounce that word. it's so simply translated to a person that provides needed help and assistance. It's actually where the phrase, "the Lord is my helper," comes from, specifically in the Old Testament. The role of the wife... Here's what's so cool about it. The role of the wife is really the role that God took in the Old Testament to help his people. And so when you look back in the Old Testament and all the stories where God stepped in and helped his people, that is the role that God has established for the wife to play, the role as the helper in her marriage. And here's another layer to that. The wife, this is so important. The wife is to be an encourager. If there's anything that I could drive home into the spirit of current wives and future wives, is to be an encourager to your husband.
Amen.
We were at a conference the other day, and something was said, and it just really confirmed what I was feeling in this message. But the quote is, "Behind every great man is an encouraging wife."
Wow.
And I just thought, wow, isn't there so much truth in that?
The perspective of a man. We're out in this world, you know, we're facing a culture that wants to tear down men. Toxic masculinity.
Right.
It's so crazy that as a man who is masculine is labeled toxic, but then we want women to become masculine. Isn't that toxic then? It doesn't make any sense. We battle that. We go into the world. Everything we do in life is for our family and for our wives. Everything I do is for you and the kids. And I feel the weight of that as a man in this world. And when I can come home to a house that I know is going to be a place of encouragement, it's going to be a place of safety, I'm not going to get hit and bombarded with everything I'm doing wrong. I can't tell you what that means to me to have a wife who can operate in that capacity the way God's designed her to. Now, she can operate that way. Why? Because I'm the leader. I've created a place of spiritual security for her to do that. And I know this is how amazing God partnered this to be with your spouse, is he'll give you a vision and direction and then give you the help to fulfill the vision and direction. I know I'm not on my own. And I know whatever I need in assistance, God will provide it through her. How amazing is that as a wife, as a spouse? It's like you can just be whatever's needed. That is such a miraculous gift that God has given women, that it doesn't matter what you're doing. I can help with it.
Yes.
You know, have you heard of jack of all trades? It's like being master of all trades. Whatever God's given you to do, he's going to help me and divinely give me everything needed to help you fulfill what we're supposed to do. That is such a gift. And so don't take that life lightly, being a help meet and being an encourager. That makes all the difference in the world to a husband.
And another thing is a wife, and I thought this was really cool, a wife is the crown of her husband. What a privilege we have here, because in Proverbs 12:4, it says, "The wife is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh him ashamed, it is rottenness in his bones." This verse literally goes from like up to completely down. I'm just the dynamics of this scripture. But if you think of just the crown alone, okay, and notice I said a crown, not the neck. You ever heard the expression that the husband is the head and the wife is the neck, and she can turn the head any way she wants? You know, my Greek is horrible. Sorry, but it's important, because that's not biblical. That's not biblical. Now, a crown, if you look at it in terms of a king wearing a crown, that crown actually signifies that man is worthy of honor and respect. So look at the honor that we have as wives, that we can live and conduct ourselves in such a way that it will command honor and respect to our husbands. And then just on the other side of this is that, or she maketh him ashamed, and it is as rottenness in his bones. And that literally can be like bone cancer, is how it's translated. And so this is, it's a big deal. When I looked at examples of what would be considered cancerous marital behaviors, I just wanted to list a few of them. Chronic criticism is cancer to the life of marriage.
So practice that now. Right. Like that's what I'm saying. For all of our people who aren't married, if you're married, single, not married, this is something for everybody.
Yes.
There's a big difference between constructive criticism. That's something that you're being critical, but you're being critical to get better for the greater good. That's fine. Speak the truth in love.
Yes.
The other side of that is people who live critical. That is a critical spirit. There's a big difference between constructive criticism for the good to get better, and sitting there being critical about everything that happens. And if your mouth is moving, you're criticizing or you're being negative. That's not of God. Let's make sure that our words are words of encouragement to build up, and make sure that God's putting a filter over our words and making sure that we're not just being critical all the
right.
time.
Right, and to speak to that, that can be something very easy that just slips out, mm-hmm. and we don't even realize it sometimes. And that's why it's so important to ask God to just search your heart and make you aware of maybe things that are in there, like maybe a critical spirit. And then what you would do is just replace that with thanksgiving, because it's like you're retraining yourself to go from one way of thinking to another. Yeah. But it's like the hard things, right? We just talked about that a few weeks ago. God will help you do those hard things. But another one is making fun of him, comparing him to other men, disrespecting him publicly, undermining his authority, shaming him for not being spiritual enough, always lecturing and nagging at him, complaining and being negative, controlling and manipulating with tears, and also withholding yourself physically. That could be a thing as well. But again, it is important. This scripture, it's got a really great thing in it, and then a really, wow, that's really interesting that you can go from one thing to another. But that is why it's so important to understand how imperative it is to conduct yourself as a wife with biblical principles. Mm-hmm. But the last one that I have is a wife to submit to her husband. Now, this can be hard for a lot of people to hear, a lot of women to hear, especially in modern day culture. But it's what they do, right? They try to make it something that it's not. The idea of submitting, even, it just sounds belittling, right? But it's actually not a weakness. It's a strength. And there's protection there. There's so much more to it. And if that's an area that you struggle seeing that side to, I want to encourage you to pray about that and get some great material on that if you need it. But it really is amazing when you have perfect understanding of what God's intention is through this submitting process. But the Bible doesn't teach women to submit to men. The Bible teaches wives to submit to husbands. And when you mentioned a biblical husband is a leader and not a lord, it gives that wife space, because women naturally submit when we feel safe, loved, and secure. So it, because it's in our nature, it's how God designed us to be. So right here in Ephesians 5:22-24, it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." And so it's a big deal.
Amen. Amen. So think about this. Can you imagine a situation that God is leading this church to do, and we're not submitted to him as his bride? I can't conceive of that. But yet we see that in Christianity today, where people are wanting to change the Bible. We're wanting to change, you know, the Bible says one thing, well, I'm going to believe something different. We've got to be very, very careful, because the Bible says it's his word's forever settled. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to change who he is or his word. So if it's in the word, we need to make sure that we're being submitted to that. And there's a safety and a security in that submission as his bride, the bride of Christ, that he's leading us. And just like the husbands are to provide for their wife, is there anything that God has not provided for you? Is there anything that this church has gone without as his bride? Is there anything that, let's imagine, isn't going to be able to do because God isn't going to back up his end of the deal? God will provide miraculously for everything that we have. And so that's why it's so important to look through our roles as men and women through the roles of Christ and the church. That ought to inspire you, and that ought to drive you. And if we can have in this church, if we can have strong men, if we can have men that are leaders, men that are spiritually mature, that pray in the home, that pray over their wives, that pray over their families, and they can create that culture in the home, now we can have strong marriages. Because the men are doing what the men are designed to do. And when we're operating in our design, now there's strength in the marriage in it, and the wives can operate and do what they're designed to do. Create that place of support and encouragement and to help meet whatever the need is. And when you have a husband and a wife operating according to the biblical standard of what God designed, now we can have strong families. And if we can have strong families in this church, we can have young people, kids, young adults that grow up with the example that is supposed to be lived in front of them. And now we've got strong young people spiritually. Imagine being spiritually mature as a teenager because you've been raised in an environment that feeds into that spiritual maturity. And when we have strong families in this church, now we're free. God says, you know what? They're operating according to what I have established in my word. Where's the ceiling to a church like that? What's withheld from a church that's submitted and obedient to God's word? And so we're going to stand right now. I would invite Pastor Draylen to come for the keys. And typically this is where we're going to have altar service, and that's what we're going to do. And so I want to invite if you are here with your spouse, if you are married and you have kids, whatever your family unit looks like, I want you to come together and to be with your family. If you are a young person, if you are a single in the room today, if you're not married yet, then I want you to come over here and be with Pastor Kento and Bianca, and they're going to be here to pray with you during this time. If you are an elder and your spouse has gone on to be with the Lord, I want you to find other people who have lost their spouse because they know what you're feeling right now and they know what you've been through. So I want everybody to come on up to the front and let's get into the groups of our families. And we're going to have a time of prayer. We're not going to be entertained with the singing and the worship behind us. Everybody come up to the front. Singles over here with Pastor Kento. And men, we're going to start with you. We're going to start with the men. Because you're the leaders. Your relationship will rise and fall on you. Men. It will succeed or it will fail because of you. So let's make sure right now what I want is I want husbands to pray over your wife. I want your wife, maybe for the very first time, to hear your prayers over her. She needs to feel your heartbeat for her in the presence of God. She needs to hear those prayers that you're praying on her behalf. So right now, I want you to turn to your wife and put your hand on her. And she needs to hear you, gentlemen. She needs to hear you, husband. This isn't time. I know not everybody's loud and boisterous, and that's okay. You get yourself by her ear, and you pray over her, okay? Lord Jesus, I thank you for this amazing wife. God, you have provided me the very best. Lord, you have designed and orchestrated this marriage, this path that we are on. Lord, I pray over her today. Lord, I pray, God, over her mind, Lord. Lord, that her thoughts, God, would be good, that they would be encouraged, that they would be, mighty Lord, full of positivity, God. Lord, don't let doubt creep in, God. Don't let discouragement creep in. Lord, I pray over her mind today, Lord. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus. That's it, man. Let your wives hear you pray today. Lord, I pray over this flesh, God. I pray over her body, God. Let there be healing in it. Let there be strength in it, God. Come upon her right now. Lord, I pray over her ministry. I pray over, God, her tomorrows. Lord, I lift her up before your throne, my God. Lord, I pray, oh Jesus, that you would direct every step, that you would lead her and guide her today. Lord, help me, Lord, to become the man that she is worthy of, that she is deserving of. Just as your bride, oh God, has the very best groom that we could ever hope for. Let my wife, let Talisha look to me and see you. Lord, that when she thinks about how I treat her, let it mirror how you treat your bride, Lord. I want to be a leader to her. I want to be a provider to her, God. I want to learn, Lord Jesus, her and how to lead this relationship in our marriage. I want to be spiritually strong, mighty Lord. Lord, that I'm reliable. I want to be dependable, God. Lord, I want to love her the way that you love your church, the way that you love your bride, God. And you have offered and given everything, mighty God, for your bride. And I'm willing, mighty Jesus, to give everything for my bride. Lord, let it please you today, God. Let my prayers please you today, Lord. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Wives, if there was any time to get anointed, it's now. As my husband said, there is an attack on the men, and especially of the men of our churches. If you want to know how to pray for your husband, I encourage you to read the book, Every Man's Battle. There are things that our husbands, our men, they deal with, they struggle with, that we know nothing about. When you have understanding about what they struggle with, it helps you to pray for them. And we've heard the weight that is on them as the leaders of our home, how much they carry. So as we pray, I encourage you, pray prayers of encouragement over your husband. Pray prayers of prophecy. Prophesy over your husband about what he can be, what you see him to be. I pray over my husband every time, all the time, that he would be a man whose words never hit the ground. I know that's a big prayer, but I'm going to pray it. I pray that every wife's mind would be inspired with prayers that you've never prayed before. So as your husband hears you pray those words, that it would encourage his spirit and lift him up. Let's pray, ladies, like never before. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, I call my husband before your throne, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you for this man of God. I thank you, Lord, for his heart for you, God, for his heart for people, for his heart to serve you and his heart to please you, for a heart, Lord God, of worship, Lord God, a heart, Lord Jesus, that has a desire to please you in all his ways, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord, a prayer of protection over him, God. Help him to guard his eyes, God. Help him to guard his heart, Lord Jesus. Help him to always, Lord God, be leaning on you to be better. Be leaning on you to be a great leader of our home, God. Lord, I pray, Lord Jesus, that his prayers would grow every time he prays, Jesus. Lord, and as I've said before, Lord God, that he would be a man whose words never hit the ground, Lord Jesus. That his heart would always be set towards you, God. That he would be a man of valor, Lord Jesus. I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Help me to be an encourager to him, God. Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this man, Lord God, and what he means to us, Lord. I thank you for the love, Lord God, that he has for you. Lord, I thank you for the love that comes, Lord God, from you to me, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord God, your protection to be upon him, God. I pray that he would walk forever in your favor, Lord Jesus. And I pray that he would never take favor from the Lord for granted, God. Lord, that when you establish favor upon him, God, that when you give him access to a soul, Lord, that he would want to please you in it, Lord Jesus. So I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you would touch him right now. I thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayers, God. I thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, if you have a family, I want you to pray over your young person. I want you to pray over your sons, your daughters. Now that you have prayed for one another, as husband and wife, pray over your home. If you're here and you don't have children, that's fine. Pray over the families in this church. Pray over, direct your prayers toward these young single adults here. They're trying to navigate this life in a culture that is rejecting the Bible and rejecting the teachings of God. They need to, what we're praying for right now, young person, we're praying for your future spouse. We're praying that God would find and grow them and develop them into the person that you need them to be for when you are ready for them. So pray over them right now. And for husbands and wives, let's pray over our families. Mighty Jesus, we praise you. I thank you, Lord, for Reed. And I thank you, God, for Ryan, the amazing children. Gifts, Lord, that you have been so generously given to us, God. My house is full. My heart is full. Because of the family that you have given me, God. I pray over their lives, Lord. I pray, Lord, that their hearts would be forever fixed on you. mighty God, that they would grow in you, that they would thrive in you, God. Search their hearts, examine their lives, my Lord. Lord Jesus, let them be found tried and true. Lord, the greatest failure I would ever know is for my kids to not serve you. So Lord, I pray for them in this culture that they are living in. Lord, David was faithful in his culture. Lord, our young people can be faithful, God, in this one. Lord, I know, God, that there is a lot of things that are pulling on them and tugging on them, trying to attack them, God. Lord, I pray a hedge of protection. Lord, as the spiritual leader of my home, I pray a hedge of protection around them. God, I pray your safety over them. Mighty God, I pray your anointing upon them, Lord. Speak to them, lead them, guide them. Whatever you must do, God, that they would serve you faithfully, Lord, with their whole hearts. Mighty God, we thank you for our children today. Lord, send them into your will. Send them, God, into your way. Let them be a benefit, mighty Lord, to the kingdom of God. Let them grow and reach people, God, to go and make disciples of all the nations, oh Lord. Bless our homes today. Now together as a church family, we've prayed as individuals, we've prayed as couples, we've prayed as individual families, but we are now a church family, and we are comprised of many individuals, but we are one body and we are one. So I want everybody to come together. I want this church family to come together. Everybody who's in the back, I want you to make your way up to the front in this altar. Come on up to the front. We're going to pray together because we are one family. The way that God has designed his bride, his body to work, we are one family. And so we're all in this together. So come together. I want everybody to be connected right now. Reach out and find somebody else to pray with as a church family. Lord, we thank you, Jesus. Lord God, that you have planted us here. God, you have assembled this group of people. Lord, you have called us together. One body with one mind in one accord. We are a family. God, and we stand in the gap today for one another. Lord, we know that you have purposed us. You have anointed us and appointed us for this hour, for this season that we are in right now. God, I pray, Lord, over every family, this family of believers in Sterling Heights. God, let us be spiritually mature. God, let us be spiritually strong with sound doctrine, with sound minds, oh God. Teach us, Lord, the value of worship. Teach us the value of consecration, God, the prayer and fasting and study. Mighty God, I'm asking you, Holy Jesus, for this church in Sterling Heights, God. Teach us how to operate in the Holy Ghost. For this world needs the people of God that know how to step into the power of the Spirit of God. Teach us how to flow in the Holy Ghost as a body of believers, not as individuals. Not as the one person who always steps into the anointing, Lord, but as the body of believers that can operate into the current of the Spirit of God. You're growing us. You're maturing us, God, as we submit to you and as we submit to your word, Lord. There's nothing that you will not do, and there is nothing, God, that you will withhold from this church. Lord, we will see blind eyes opened. God, we are going to see deaf ears unlocked. Lord, we will see the lame leap. Mighty God, we will see, Lord, in this church, we will see the dead raised to life because we have been willing to submit ourselves to your leadership and to develop the skill of operating in the power of your Spirit, God, for your glory, for your fame, for your wonder. There's going to be a DeQuinder Road revival. I remember the dream of Mary Hill. I remember the dream of Esther Hoffman. Cars lined up and down the street. People, a long line waiting to get buried in water baptism. It will come to pass because you are faithful and you are true to your word. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for what you have done, for what we feel in the room right now. You're good to us. Let's just worship for a while. We don't need singing right now. Let's step into that current of the Holy Ghost. I recognize it right now. That current is moving. It's moving through us right now. That's it. That's it. Begin to pray. Begin to intercede. Begin to travail right now for your families, for this city. Let that travail find the throne room of heaven right now. Mighty God, we pray. Lord, you would hear from heaven. Bless indeed. Enlarge our territory, my King, today. Lord, I pray over every lost soul, every person, God, that is battling depression in this city. Lord, that is contemplating suicide right now. God, we bind the spirit of oppression. We bind the spirit of depression and anxiety and stress and suicide tonight, God. We loose your freedom. We loose your liberty, God. We loose it in the power of the Holy Ghost tonight. Lord, that your dominion would be felt in Sterling Heights. Let it belong to you, my God. Let it belong to you. Lord, I break every spirit of addiction right now. God, I curse it. I curse it and rebuke the spirit of addiction. God, in this city, Lord, I pray against the spirit of mammon. We're too caught up, Lord, in chasing possession and worldly gain. God, it's empty. It's hollow. That's all it is. What a lie it is. So, Lord God, I curse it today. Lord, let your church arise. Let the people of God realize who we are. You have given us your power, God, and because of that, we are the most powerful force in existence on this planet. It's time we realize it. It's time we realize it with authority and understanding. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. It's been a great privilege to teach you the Word of God today. Husbands, do not let this be the only time that you pray over your wives. This needs to be a daily discipline. Let this be foundational in your marriage and in your home. It's our privilege and it's our honor to lead our wives. Don't disgrace that office. Don't bring dishonor to that office. If we'll do this, I'm convinced that God will use us to change the world. Lord, I thank you, God, for these amazing people that are here today. Lord, I pray that the word would marinate. Lord, don't let it be something that a few hours from now they can't recall. Let it find root. Let it find that fertile soil, God. Help us, Lord, to be changed, to be different, to add some things to our daily discipline in our lives. Our world is depending on it. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Please be with us tomorrow night at 7 o'clock for Monday night prayer. Prayer is powerful. In fact, last Monday night, I looked around and I had the thought of, we're going to have to go to 2 hours of prayer. There were so many people in this room on Monday night last week. We might consider a 6 to 7 and a 7 to 8 or a 7 to 8, 8 to 9. Prayer's catching on. It is our anchor. This world's going nuts. But if we stay humble, We'll stay prayerful. We'll stay connected to the Lord. Okay? Be here tomorrow night, Monday night prayer, 7 o'clock. God bless you. Thank you for being in church today. Have a wonderful rest of your Sunday.